Great. I'm Jeff. This is Caroline, or Kaz. She prefers Kaz. Little tinny is a, I don't know if I'm feeding back a little bit. This is our third time back, isn't it? So thank you for inviting us to come. Obviously, it wasn't too bad the other times we came, so that's good. We work for Agape UK, and I was just explaining to somebody before the service, maybe most of us know the word agape, which means unconditional love for us. We are working alongside churches in what we do. We used to do student ministry, but we're working alongside churches up and down the country and really supporting the journey that you guys are on, or different churches are on, helping people discover Jesus and grow in him, and also to share Jesus with other people. So that is what we're about. To talk about inviting others into your Christmas. Why don't we pray before we start? Lord, thank you that you are here by your Spirit, and that you desire to speak to each and every one of us. Lord, thank you that you are so good. And Lord, as we think about the words from your messenger tonight, that we would engage with it and take it to heart for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who heard the song the guys at the back were playing as you were coming in? Did you catch that? You did. What was it? Do you know what it was? It was the Messiah, Handel's Messiah. Fantastic. So Handel's Messiah is often played at Christmas, and Handel is said to be basically composing this at one of his lowest points in his creation. And so this masterpiece was written. It came out of a time when Handel had a divine encounter with God. And so what happened was he locked himself away in a room with a Bible and some music script to write on, and composed what is one of the most praiseworthy or praising pieces of all time. So we love that. I'm just wondering if I can get a bit more light on this. Can you see that? Handel experienced the goodness of God, and he went public with how he felt about God in his masterpiece. In fact, you could say he went global with it, because all over the world we sing, "Unto us a child is born," and all the rest of it. And in the premiere of the playing of Handel's Messiah, the king was in attendance as well. And he was so impressed with what he was hearing and so stirred, he stood to his feet, which was very unusual for a king to do. And now, today, you probably have the Hallelujah chorus part of Handel's Messiah. People now stand to their feet as a way of remembering that moment and appreciating God, I would guess. So, yes, today I think about my motivation to pass on what I know of God, what I've experienced of God, and I want to share this with the needy world around me. And so, Handel experienced God in a profound way, and he wanted to publicly make God known. At Christmas, for the Christian and the follower of Jesus, it's a time full of meaning, isn't it? And it's a unique time of year when the goodness of this festival kind of, everybody wants a little bit of this. They catch the meaning of it and appreciate it, its benefits. It's Christmas Day that people may be, look at this. Fantastic. This is very good. You just came up with that, did you? You just found it back there. It's great. Brilliant. It's a unique time of year, Christmas. People come to church maybe for their one annual visit, open to talking about a moment. So this is our time to do a Handel, to go public with our appreciation of who Jesus is, and to take the opportunity to connect with others who don't know the reason for the season. Of course, you may not be following Jesus here tonight. You're just curious about it all, and you're thinking about it. Well, you are very welcome here tonight, really are. And our encouragement to you is to consider why we think Jesus is so good and so loving towards us that we would want to not just keep him for ourselves. So today's reading we had from, which included Handel's Messiah. Much of what has come before this section in Scripture, in Isaiah, the prophet has been speaking about what God says in judgment on God's wayward people. And so Isaiah 1:2, so right at the beginning of the prophet Isaiah's book, he says, "I reared children and brought them up, but they rebelled against me." But the great thing is that chapter 9 prophesies joy, prophesies light, and light in the darkness, speaking of God's victory over his enemies. And then the focus turns in this passage to the promise of a king who is to come. And so Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, and you will probably know this very well from Handel's Messiah, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we're going to spend a few minutes in each of these attributes of Jesus, looking at what it said about the Messiah, who is God's chosen one, the Savior and Rescuer of the people. Jesus is that Messiah. And into this dark period of history of Israel, God has had some strong words to say, but he brings hope of God's amazing deliverer. And so Isaiah himself, just a few chapters earlier, if you know the book well, met with God profoundly himself. And in answer to God's question, "Whom shall I send?" he responds, do you know? "Send me." He says, "Send me." God is so good. So with each of these characteristics and titles of Jesus, we will just think about how this applies to us personally, but then we will intentionally think about intentionally engage conversation with those things that we learn about Jesus.
So first up, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Now, the birth of a child, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You've got a lot of babies in this church this morning. We saw a few babies around. I remember going to the printers when I was heavily pregnant. In fact, actually in labour, and asking them, you know, the costs of printing birth announcements. The guy looked at me and said, "Oh, it could be any day now, couldn't it?" I was like, mm-hmm. And then right away after that, went to the hospital, and a few hours later, Nathan was born. Second child, much more casual about it. But this here is a particularly unusual birth announcement, isn't it? Because this announcement is made 700 years before the birth of Jesus. So we've got a birth announcement on the PowerPoint. Isaiah had great anticipation for this birth, 700 years before. Bit unusual. The child is born. Firstly, the child is given to Israel and to us, not just to Mary. He's born to the people. This is our Jesus we're talking about. He's a gift to us. And in fact, Jesus' birth is the greatest gift to us. And we'll unpack that more, because Jesus was born to live and serve and sacrificially die to serve us and to save us from darkness. As we talk, we'll look at this in more detail. But I wonder what you think is the greatest thing about this gift of Jesus. This is our announcement to give. How can we pass on the news? How can we give this birth announcement to others? Maybe a few thousand years late, but we can give this birth announcement to others. So as we unpack this verse, we'll be thinking about sort of some questions that you can ask to go deeper, go behind the tinsel and the glitter, your Christmas and what you understand Christmas to be. Be how deep people want to engage, but recognising that we want to go from the superficial, sort of casual conversations and go deeper and get a real understanding of what Christmas is all about. And we're going to make questions that we put up. Don't be overwhelmed by questions that we put up. We'll make them available. We're going to digitally send them somehow to you. But if you want to take any photographs of the slides we put up with questions, then do feel free. So here are a few questions here on unto us a child is given, a gift to us. So for example, you might say, what's the best gift you've ever received? Maybe later on, deeper, you might go, why do you think the wise men bought gold, frankincense and myrrh? You know, just getting people talking about the gift of Jesus.
So as we go through these, just think about what's a question I could be asking somebody I know in my world. So that was one. And then the next part of this verse says, the government will be on his shoulders. About the government right now, our leaders of our country right now. I'm not going to ask for a little political discussion, but I wonder if you are the kind of person that longs for good leadership. We all do, don't we? Trustworthy leaders of transparency and who are faithful to the job. They're serving rather than self-serving. They serve others. Isaiah prophesies here, Jesus will be in charge, sitting on David's throne, but not limited just to an earthly throne. This is a divine, just and eternal rule that Isaiah is talking about. And I love this phrase here, on his shoulders. This is an interesting phrase. The verses before this verse talk about God shattering the enemy's yoke that is across Israel. And the bar across their shoulders is broken, bringing freedom and political peace. So at the end of Jesus' life, a cross was laid on his shoulders and for many, shattering the burden of our wrongdoing and bringing freedom and salvation. So this is the kind of leader Jesus is, the one who serves others and gives up his life for them. The very next verse, in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So he's going to be the Lord of lords and he's going to be the King of kings. As part of my work I did in South Africa when we were living there, I would regularly ask questions amongst business leaders, and I would ask them, what makes a good leader? And most would kind of answer the question, well, you know, somebody who cares, somebody who's honest, somebody who's approachable, others focused, even leading by example. And this is in a country where they've had their fair share of corrupt oversight. But why do I follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? For me, he modeled an excellent character in leadership. He served others and he cared for others. And I align my life to Jesus' character, as that's the best way to live. He has the answers. And I've experienced living his way is the way. So everyone's looking for life hacks, aren't they? How to live better. And life works best under Jesus' leadership and guidance. And surely, if followed the teaching of Jesus, then there would be peace everywhere, right? I can be part of the solution rather than being part of the problem. So how do we pass this on? Well, maybe some questions you can ask at Christmas time. Let me just, I'm going to pick out two for you, the first two. The Magi, the wise men, travelled a huge distance to see Jesus. I mean, a long, long way. Why did they do that? And then the second one is, why do so many people follow Jesus today? Over 2.4 billion people across the world. So that is what some of the questions you could ask.
So wonderful counsellor is the next up. So this birth announcement, going back to that, it seems a little bit topsy-turvy, doesn't it? Because not only is it very early, 700 years early, and it's sort of our announcement, it's not just Mary's announcement to give, but it's also announcing some qualities of the person that it will be. So here we have, in 700 years, there'll be a wonderful counsellor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace announcement. And it says, accomplished cook, marathon runner, and future CEO. No name or weight, but this. You would surely be looking out to see if this mother and father were right about this baby. just like with Isaiah, we're going, okay, so he's talking about a birth of a baby 700 years ahead, who is apparently going to become a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm going to watch this person and see, and we'll unpack a little bit of whether this Jesus that Isaiah was pointed towards fulfills these prophecies. So this word 28 to describe God. So it says, all this comes from the Lord Almighty, whose wisdom is magnificent. And what Isaiah wants us to do here is recognize that this child that he's talking about is God. It's going to be God. Wonderful in counselor, as one version puts it. Now, back in 1995, Jeff and I were in Malawi on a project. And we were walking back to our accommodation, and it was pitch black. You know, there was no light pollution, no lights. we hadn't got a torch, and we hadn't got smartphones. Can you believe it? Before the days of smartphones. The dogs are barking, coming out at us. And Karen mentioned earlier about feeling lost. And it can feel like a dark place when you're feeling lost. But I was really thankful for the guidance of somebody to take us through these streets in Malawi. And you might have experienced that kind of thing here in some country lanes where it's pitch black and you're really struggling. It sort of induces sort of fear, some uncertainty and confusion. Nice place to be. But Jesus, this wonderful counselor, is our guide and sheds light in our situations. And with him, I personally feel, and I know some of you will have experienced, things get clearer. I want you to think of the wisest person you know. They might even be in this room. I mean, you look like a wise bunch. There we go, we've got people going, oh, it's you. You know, somebody who clarifies truth, who cuts through the confusion, helps you make good decisions, is trustworthy. They don't compare to Jesus. In fact, even the best human life counsellor or life coach or counsellor isn't a match for this counsellor, Jesus. And later in Isaiah chapter 40, he writes, who can instruct the Lord as his counsellor? No one can. No one can go give God advice because he is the ultimate. So Jesus is a supernatural source of extraordinary, perfect wisdom. That's why Isaiah says it's wonderful. And then later in the New Testament, in John chapter 14 and 16, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit a counselor. So the third person of the Trinity. So God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all a counselor for us. So giving guidance and peace in the dark. This is amazing news because I don't know about you, but I need this wisdom. I need this counsel in my life where there are so many voices saying different things. What impact does this have on your life, knowing that Jesus is our very own wise counselor? And maybe how can you engage with this truth with other people who might also feel lost and in a dark place? So there's a few questions we can ask. Let me pick out just one there. I think this is quite cool. Some people look to the Bible for, this is perhaps a little bit further when you've already had a bit of a conversation with people. Some people look to the Bible for guidance. Have you ever done that? Have you ever read the Bible, got to know what it says? Did you know, and this is just an interesting fact for you anyway, for us, did you know Bible sales have nearly doubled in the past 6 years? So, and the YouVersion Bible app recently reached 1 billion downloads. Looking at just a few questions for you to think about and maybe ask some other people.
Great, maybe you knew that already, but I still find that amazing. And so that was wonderful counselor. Now we're on to mighty God. He is mighty. He has unimaginable power. Although having said that, when you read the Gospels, he doesn't use that power for political gains or other accomplishments. He uses it for healing. His power was on casting out demons and calming storms and ultimately the resurrection. And in the book of Philippians, Paul tells us that in the future, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he is God. He's God, a profound mystery for us. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. And this is difficult to get our heads around, isn't it? We're not going to get into big theology too much here. But any physicists here in the room tonight, anybody like physics? I asked this morning, there was hardly anybody there either. Where are all the physicists? Right, one at the back. Light is a particle, but it's also a wave. It's two opposing things in science, but I still believe in light, right? Even though I don't understand, and scientists don't understand how light can be that way. God is man. Jesus is God, but he's also man, God with skin on. So Emmanuel is the word we use at Christmas, another Christmas card word, meaning God with us, God coming to live in our neighborhood, becoming like us. He is here, he is close, and he cares for us. He's also mighty God, mighty to save, and has strength and divinity in action. Thinking about this idea of mighty to save, so we used to live in Cape Town and we would regularly hear of climbers who would get into trouble on Table Mountain. They would injure themselves and need rescue. And occasionally you would hear of these rescue stories where a strong expert, trained expert, would abseil down from the cable car onto a ledge on the side of each of them. And imagine the relief of that victim as they see this abseiler, this strong trained abseiler coming down to pull them up because they are absolutely helpless. And God did this with us. He's so high and mighty above us, but he meets us in our mess, in our self-centeredness. He dies on a cross to pay for the price for all that mess. And he pays for our punishment that we deserve, and we are rescued. He is mighty to save. So this is a profound truth for us, that God, Jesus comes to me, comes to you. The mighty one rescues us. I need him. I'm like that stranded climber, and I'm so grateful that Jesus has done that rescue for me. So I live for him because God is with me. So some questions we could engage with others around us, and maybe you could use this one. Do you know what the word Emmanuel means? Because it's on our Christmas cards. And you could tell them it's God with us if they don't know. And why do you think Jesus as God became a man? And then the next question I put up there, I've an AI-generated one. So you can Google, if you're trying to think of good questions to ask your friends, just Google it and you let AI help you. And this is what AI came up with. It said, if it were possible, would you want a God who is not just out there, but actually with us in our daily lives? That would be like, there we are, AI helping us out to share our faith.
Great, thanks. The next one, Everlasting Father. I wonder how many of you have seen the film Anna and the King? With you, yeah, a few of you. It's a little bit old. It's 1999, apparently. I was a bit shocked at that. But it's about a king, the king of Siam, who is a powerful, mighty leader and much to be feared. And then there's this scene where he's sitting on the throne, big hall, everybody's bowing down, when suddenly this child bursts in, runs up, and plonks himself on the king's knee and buries himself into the king's arms. Why could he do that? Because he was the king's child. He is both mighty king and loving father. God is both mighty king and loving father. The child had access to children, God's children, and we have that access to God, the Almighty, but Father, a forever, always there, lasting, enduring, timeless, never let you down, everlasting Father. One who has eternal care for his people. A perfect Father, a strong, patient, loving provider and protector. So, as I say, this mighty God, this King that Jesus is also that embodiment of an everlasting Father. He's one with the Father. So, as his children, we have that access to him. And this is great news for those of us who perhaps feel unappreciated or unseen or even unloved, that we have this everlasting Father. So some questions you could ask, just a really simple one. What does family time look like for you at Christmas? Just to get to know people a little bit more. And you can go deeper with those sort of family questions if you want.
Everlasting Father, thank you. And then we're on to a previous royal title for Jesus and a theme that is picked up on our Christmas cards, emblazoned with the words peace. And our experience could be anything but peace at Christmas, can't it? It's so hectic. It's a busy time. There's lots of activity, shopping, preparations, traveling. And our world lacks peace. Global instability is very concerning and brings a lot of anxiety to us. So when we talk about peace, it brings to mind both personal peace for our lives, but also political peace. Talking of personal peace, I experienced a moment of peace in sort of a crazy circumstance. Maybe you've had a similar kind of thing. We were traveling back as a family from South Africa on a flight. We were just ready to board the flight back to London, and our son starts being very ill and we can't board with him. So Caroline or Kaz takes our son and they stay in South Africa until he gets better. And I board this flight with my daughter, who's 4 years old. And so I'm sitting on the, okay, we've got 6 weeks worth of luggage in the hold on this plane, and I've got to somehow get from Heathrow Airport back to Islington home without a car and without spending a small fortune on a taxi. How am I going to do that? But I sat there on the plane and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to pray about this and give this to God. And I prayed about it and just said, God, you've got to sort this out somehow. And then I went to sleep. I actually slept on an overnight flight, and I had a very good night's sleep because I was just resting in God in that. Come to the arrivals in the morning, go through arrivals, and my father-in-law is standing there waiting for us. And he'd come in, he'd driven down from Leicestershire, and he'd brought a car with a trailer to come and pick us up. I think he was a bit confused as to where you were. Where's my daughter, he said. But God was very kind to us and brought us a solution to that situation. So peace comes through trusting Jesus, recognizing he's in control, not us. He's large and in charge. I have personal peace as I have, but I have harmony with God because I'm restored back to a relationship with Jesus. That peace is reflected in having the Holy Spirit in my life. So how can we pass this on to others? Maybe you have a peace story that you would love to share with somebody around you. Or maybe there's some other, maybe some questions you might want to ask those around you. Let me pick out that first one. Where do you find personal peace? Is it lasting? That may be a question you can ask people yourself.
So as we said earlier, this birth announcement came with no name, but we now know his name is Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. And at times, perhaps we struggle to believe there can be transformation or salvation in this world, in our world, individually and at large. But the words and hope of Isaiah run true, still ring true for us today, because these qualities on this birth announcement, Jesus fulfilled them. He wasn't a marathon runner necessarily, but he was Wonderful Counselor and is Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So he was born 700 years later, but in fact, fulfilling not just this prophecy, but 300 other prophecies he fulfilled. God came among us, flesh, in order to give us wisdom, protection, fatherly care and peace as we enter this relationship with him. So he is enough for that change, that transformation, personally and for the world. And this is great news for us. So how do we pass it on? How do we invite people into this Christmas that we know and understand? How are we going to give this birth announcement to others? So let's just close with a few ideas. So take opportunities. Maybe you could use things around you. So Christmas cards. Maybe you could, if somebody's given a Christmas card, you notice it's got the word peace on it. Maybe you could get into conversation about that, just through that. Or maybe you want to give or send a Christmas card with something other than a Santa on it. And something, write something like, I don't know, I find God's peace so remarkable, hoping you experience the peace found in Jesus this Christmas. Or something that just points a little bit more to who this, or what this Christmas is all about and who is behind it all. Or carol you're singing, choose a phrase or a word and just ask somebody about it. You might be into social media and up for doing videos, and maybe you could do a 1 minute little video, put it on Facebook, Instagram or any of those, TikTok, or just about your experience of Christmas message, what it means to you. Maybe share a link, a short Bible verse, or give a gift. We all like gifts. Give a gift. Something, you know, maybe small, but just shows a bit of love to the to your neighbours. Because, or even give a Christmas leaflet, like, I don't know if you've come across the one, Why Christmas? It talks a little bit more about what Christmas is all about. And then invite people. Just invite friends, invite maybe work colleagues. We're going to invite, or we are inviting, our neighbours around for mulled wine and mince pies, just to socialise a little bit. Last year, our neighbour said, you can't be Londoners. You know, Londoners don't do this and invite neighbours around. Wanted to say, actually it's because of the love of Jesus. But I thought that was perhaps a bit high level. And just bringing in generosity and love. But you've got various things to invite people to, haven't you? You've got your pop-up nativity, Christmas carols, Christmas Day service. And this is the time to draw people into this Christmas that you experience as well. Certainly you can invite them to that. And then I'd encourage us to live. Live as God wants us to live. Live Jesus's way. So with God's help, let's speak wisdom to the uncertain, or show love and care to the lonely and oppressed. Be a peacemaker and a peace bringer. And then finally, we've talked about this already. Ask good questions. Showing interest in what people think and already believe, because that explores together. We're discovering more about Jesus together. These questions are good for us, as well as anybody else who doesn't perhaps know or follow Jesus. In church, you could say, you could even use the fact we used Handel's Sunday. We were listening to some of Handel's Messiah. Have you ever been to a concert of Handel's Messiah? And what did you think? Did you know that bit? We were looking at that bit, for unto us a child is born. And it says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You know, that's about Jesus. You know, do you know why? Do you know why that's in there in this Christmas story? Obviously taking it at different levels depending on the people you're talking to. So as we close, let's just reflect for a moment. Thank God for Jesus. Consider your own relationship with him. And to ask God what maybe your next step is to think about talking with others, to draw them into this Christmas that's so meaningful for us. Thinking about the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So I'll give you just a moment of quiet, yeah, and then I'll pray. Thank you that you are everything Isaiah said you would be. You are our Wonderful Counselor. You are Mighty God. You are Everlasting Father. And we can know you So I pray that at whatever stage we're at on our journey, we would have time now and as we approach Christmas to ponder those things and draw closer to you, Jesus, because you are our answer. You are our everything. We want to give, we want you to give us the direction in our lives so that we can live lives that are full and meaningful and honouring of you. Thank you for the truths that we've heard today. Use us, Lord, we pray, to get behind the tinsel and the glitter, to get to know you more. Amen.